Father, we bless you and thank you, O Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. For you have given us purpose in ministry, Father. And that purpose in ministry is an awesome reality, Lord. It is an awesome responsibility, and it's a gateway, O God, to an awesome position before you, Lord. So as we learn to function in the ministry that you have called us to function in, Lord, as we realize the call upon our lives, Father, we bless you and thank you that you have chosen to labor with us to bring forth what is right and true before you, to bring forth, O God, what will be developed in our lives forever. We are grateful that the Holy Spirit is alive in us, O God, to bring forth that which will enable us to stand in position before you in all eternity, Lord. That what is begun here in terms of simple ministries, O God, has an ultimate purpose, O God, that is actually mind-boggling, Father. Far beyond our intelligence, far beyond our capabilities, far beyond what we understand in and of ourselves. Because you are going to build the ministry in our lives creatively, Lord. And as we answer the call, as we come alive to how you mean to teach us how to function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, you are teaching us, O God, to stand, O God, in high positions before you, Lord. So open our hearts and enable us to function in our ministries in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, Father. We pray that you will guard us and keep us, that you will guide us and lead us, mold us and shape us, and correct us whenever it is necessary, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to go through some verses that we have done before. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Which says in verse 3 that you are a letter of Christ, New American Standard, or you are an epistle of Christ, New King James Bible. And as an epistle of Christ, your adequacy is from God. If you read on verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, it says, your adequacy is from God. And the ultimate purpose of you being an epistle of Christ is so that you will become ministers of the new covenant. And the new covenant is being written in your heart. It is being written in your heart by the finger of God. The finger of God represents the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's being written into your heart. So the ministry flows out of your heart. The ministry is God's workmanship in your heart. So if your heart is not right before God, you cannot have the right kind of ministry. It's impossible. So watch over your heart, for from it flow rivers of living water, right? Your heart is here in your belly area. So Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You've seen a river in the natural, right? Can you imagine rivers of living water flowing out of you? God is talking about a spiritual reality of tremendous scope, okay? So all that is part of your realization of the ministry God has for you. So your ministry flows out of a heart that God is fashioning, okay? So now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. What does this tell you? If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That tells you that all of us have the capacity to speak as the oracles of God. So one of the fundamental realities of ministry is using your mouth. And training for using your mouth is a reality that you have every day. Every day you speak. And every day you speak, you can see what comes out of your heart. God wants you to understand that your mouth is designed to release the oracles of God. Where is this statement coming from? It's coming from the Old Testament. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 14 and 15, where Moses tells the children of Israel, the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, or death and destruction, depending on what versions of the Bible you read, okay? But fundamentally, the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. So the oracles of God come out of the word. The word forms the construct so that you can speak the oracles of God. The oracles of God are the prophetic word. The word that you can spontaneously speak from your heart, and your mind monitors that word. So you train yourself to move in that sort of a witness as you pray in tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, your mind becomes unfruitful. And you learn how to function from your belly. Because the tongues rise out of your belly. And as you speak in tongues, God teaches you how to function, right? From your belly. How to function from your spirit. How to function from your inner man. All right? So that is fundamental to what God wants to do with you. Okay? So you need to understand that when we speak in tongues, it is always related to the word of God. God wants to make that word become spontaneous witness through you. And it's very, very powerful. So the first element of your ministry is your mouth. And your mouth is defined, is designed to bring forth the word of God. And you have to train yourself to bring forth the word of God. When you speak with people, you have to train yourself to speak what is in line with God's word. Are you with me? Okay? So building this witness, spontaneously speaking. I'm speaking to you in English, but I'm speaking to you spontaneously. My mind is functioning as a screen for my thoughts. But I'm speaking to you spontaneously from my heart. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Right? Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 1, verse 9, and he puts it this way. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness. Right? So what does he say? I serve in my spirit. In the preaching of the word. What does he say? He preaches the word of God from his spirit. Not from his head. So he says, I serve God by the preaching of God, of the word from my spirit. All right? Got that? He again describes this in chapter 9, verse 1. And in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Paul writes, I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, I'm telling the truth in Christ because I'm functioning in a witness that has been built in Christ. The witness that has grown out of the seed of Christ that has been planted inside of me that has made me born again. So you are born again in the seed of the word. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. That seed of the word is also called in Galatians 3:16, the seed of Christ. So that seed of Christ gives rise to this witness. So when you were born again, you came alive to God. You knew God was real. And that witness is what God wants to build inside of you. And he wants to build that witness such that you will become a mouthpiece for God. Now every Christian is designed for this. Because every Christian has the capacity to unveil with his mouth, from his heart, what God wants to bring forth. Having said that, you also have a witness of your flesh inside of you. And the witness of your flesh stands in contradiction to what God stands for. And that battle is what makes it difficult to move as God wants you to move. Because your flesh has a lot of desires. Your flesh has a lot of passions. Your flesh has a lot of pride. Your flesh has a lot of desires, a lot of carnal desires. Your flesh carries a lot of ambition. Your flesh has its hidden agendas. And there is this battle that you have to fight. So how do you fight this battle? So God deals with this. And Isaiah prophesies this in Isaiah chapter 28. Now, we have read this passage several times, but I just want to read it so that we get this in perspective, okay? So this spontaneous witness that God wants to develop inside of you is already alive inside of you. You may not be able to function through that witness, but you are able to discern through that witness. The day you are born again, you are able to discern things in God. Something was quickened to your inside man, your inner man. But God doesn't want you just to discern things. He wants you to move into being able to function in it. So Peter says, your mouth must speak like the oracles of God. So how do we speak like the oracles of God? That comes through tongues. And Isaiah the prophet prophesied this 700 years before Christ. So in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 9, it is written, to whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom would he interpret the message? Two different things are being addressed here. Knowledge and the message. The message is the spontaneous word. The knowledge is the abiding word. So when you speak prophecy, you speak the spontaneous word. But that spontaneous word is defined in the knowledge that has been formed inside of you by God. So that verse that we read in 2 Corinthians 3:3, which says, you are a letter of Christ, or you are an epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. That is the abiding form of the knowledge that God wants you to have. And the more of a heart of flesh that has been formed out of that abiding knowledge is formed inside of you, the more powerful will be your spontaneous witness. The more powerful will you be able to understand your visions. The greater depth you will have in the interpretation of your visions and your dreams. Now, visions and dreams are pictorial thoughts. God speaks pictorially. The message can be given to you pictorially. The message can be given to you through a flow of thoughts. The message can be given to you, right, in a spoken voice, right? The message can be given to you as an impression. But in whatever form God brings it forth inside of you, that spontaneous message is dependent on the abiding knowledge form that has been manifested inside of you. So if you want to grow in the gifting that God has given you, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gifting doesn't operate in a vacuum. The gifting operates in a totality that is built out of the word of God. So when you function in the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom or prophecy, right, the depth of the word inside of you will enable you to discern with which spirit you are moving in. Can our words be tainted by our flesh? Yes, they can. God can show you a vision. You are going to see that vision, you're going to interpret it, and you're going to bring it out of your being, and you're going to release it out of your mouth. There are many areas where it can go into error. That's why you very rarely say, thus says the Lord. Unless you feel that the power of God has come very specially on you, and you know you are speaking, and these words are just not of yourself. But if you're speaking from an impression and you're bringing forth the words and you're bringing them forth, those words are colored by what you understand and what you perceive and what you have realized out of the Word of God. That doesn't mean somebody will not be blessed out of that. But somebody should never take your words as this is the Word of the Lord. No, it's not. This is your impression of what God told you. So a person receiving what you tell them must be able to discern it in the background of the knowledge that God has built in that person. So the word that you have will enable you to discern whether so and so told you something that is in line with God's word to you. Are you with me? All right. So this spontaneous witness is something that God wants to build. But this spontaneous witness doesn't operate in a vacuum. Don't ever think that the gifts of God operate in a vacuum. They don't. Everything in you is tied back to your personality and your character. So if you're called to be a pastor and being a pastor is your calling and you're not willing to deal with your character, you're going to find that your flawed character is going to come out of your ministry all the time, guys. It will come out of you in conscious terms. It will come out of you in subconscious terms. It will, worse still, it will come out of you in unconscious terms. Which is why change, repentance and change is absolutely necessary in every area of your Christian life. No matter where and how you have grown, you must be conscious of the fact that there is a necessity of continuous change within you. So you have to deal with your character flaws. So you ask the Holy Spirit to tell you, what's wrong with me, Lord? Why am I always blowing my top? Why am I always taking offense? Somebody says something, I get offended. Somebody says something, I get hurt. That can't be like that. If Jesus Christ had been hurt on the inside on the cross, you and I are dead. And Jesus Christ, although his body was hurt, his heart was not hurt. That's why he was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That's why you and I are living today. If he had turned around and said, oh God, I'm hurt, that's it. Then he would not have been able to produce that witness that meant what it said. So in the same token, as a minister of the Lord, you have to learn how to overcome. When you minister to hurt people, they are going to hurt you. And you must have the strength to overcome that. It is mandatory. And if you get hurt, you should take it to the Lord and address it to the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. I just got hurt. I just got frightened. I just got angry. I just saw myself say words that I should never have said. I just saw this woman and I had thoughts that I should never have had thoughts about when I saw her. And you need to deal with it then and there. Don't keep it and say my faith will deal with it. Brother, you better take it to the Lord and deal with it then and there. Kill the snake then and there. It won't magically disappear. It won't magically disappear. Why? Because your character and your nature is part of you. Yeah? So if you focus your mind on the wrong things, can you have wrong thoughts? Yes, you can. How often can you have wrong thoughts? As often as you want, isn't it? Hello. So why do you think it is different when it's spiritual? Same thing. Same principle. Can you see that? So to whom would he teach knowledge and to whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just taken from the breast. For he says, order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there. Indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Why will he speak to these people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue? The prophet who is writing these words is a Jew. To a Jew, he believed his language was superior to all other languages. And here is a Jew writing about something he did not understand. But God was telling him that he was going to speak to the people of God with stammering lips and a foreign tongue. And this is a Jewish prophet speaking 700 years before Jesus Christ came. So what was the purpose of speaking with stammering lips and a foreign tongue? So that God could teach us without being hindered by the constraints of our intellect. Because all of us believe certain things. And our beliefs are very limiting. Our beliefs about God are very limiting. Because if we really believed God for who He was and for who He is and for all that He is, we will be very different people today. If we really knew God's love, we will be totally different today. If you and I knew the love of God, we would have been transfigured by that love. There will be no wrinkles on our face, and we will not grow old either. Because all of death would have been rebuked. That is the power of love. The power of love is life. Pure life, perfect life, eternal life. That is the life that God has given us through the cross. It is an indestructible life. If you read the scriptures, you will understand that. So when we say, I know love, we are talking nonsense basically, because the love of God is an amazing mystery. The love of God is an expression of pure and perfect life. And so when God says, I will teach you with stammering lips and a foreign tongue, He's sidestepping your mindsets. He's sidestepping the shackles of human language. Because human language describes things based on human experience and human understanding. Whether it's Greek or whether it's Hebrew or whether it's English, human words carry human meaning. When God says love and you and I say love, superficially we may be saying the same word, but the meaning of the words are totally different. Totally different. God's reality of love and your reality and my reality of love will probably have no similarities. So if you want to know the meaning God has for love, how do you get into that meaning? You pray in tongues. So if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 6, Paul says that he prays in tongues. And out of those tongues he has experienced revelation, knowledge, prophecy, and teaching. Four things. Revelation, knowledge, prophecy, and teaching. Prophecy is the spontaneous word. Revelation knowledge is the word that is birthed in your heart. Prophecy is the word that brings out that word that has been revealed in your heart. Teaching is what gives meaning to what your heart has received. So you will find that revelation, knowledge, prophecy, and teaching are all tied to training you as a servant of God. So Peter says, if you speak as the oracles of God. Can you see that? And tongues are meant to develop that reality inside of you. And it will happen if you pray the word of God. But if you pray your human emotions, you will go into things that you don't want to know about. So pray the word of God. Now that's why Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. Alright? So if anyone speaks, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Spontaneous word. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And I just want to introduce this word called ability. Ability comes out of many different forms in the Bible. One of the common understandings of ability is that which flows out of the anointing. When God gives you a calling, He will anoint you for that calling. And that calling will enable you to go into that calling. So if you're called to be a pastor, God will anoint you for that pastoral ministry. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean that your anointing will be the same as another pastor's anointing. Every pastor is different. Every teacher is different. Every prophet is different. But every prophet has an anointing from God. Every pastor has an anointing from God. Every believer has a believer's anointing. Every believer has the anointing of the Spirit of Christ. So Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Christ means the anointed one. Christ being formed in you is you being formed in the anointing that comes through Christ into you. It forms part of your being. Every Christian has a right to realize that anointing. That anointing becomes part of your ability. All right? That anointing becomes part of your ability. But the anointing also gives to you skills. If you look at the Old Testament, there were two guys who were given the commission to do the tabernacle of Moses, Oholiab and Bezalel. Now they were anointed with skills in order to do work with the needle, work with carvings, work with metal, work with materials, okay? And so they were given specific skills to work with their hands in order to do something. All right, so you see from that example that God gives anointings for specific skills. And those skills can involve physical work. Those skills can involve skills in any area of human endeavor. All right? Listening? All right. So if you stand in an office of the church, God will anoint you for that office. And that anointing is specific for that office. So David was anointed as king so that he could become king. David was anointed as a prophet so that he could be a prophet of the Lord. So he could write psalms that were prophetic in nature. David was anointed as a priest so that he could function as a priest before God. So when he sang his songs before God, he was functioning as a worshiping priest. He brought a whole new type of ministry into being. He brought song as a means by which the priesthood could worship God. So today we are a priesthood of believers. And as a priesthood of believers, we all have the capacity to worship God. Now to worship God involves an anointing. To pray involves an anointing. To have a heart that can give involves an anointing. So ability involves anointings. But ability also involves character. Because your character does impact every facet of your abilities. Just because you're an intelligent person doesn't mean you will do right things. Correct? If you have the nature of a skunk, then you will be an intelligent skunk. If you have the nature of a snake, then you will be an intelligent snake. If you have the nature of a thief, then you will be an intelligent thief. So, yes, you can have abilities, right? If you see Lucifer, he was anointed with tremendous abilities. But his nature was that of a skunk. And so he became an anointed skunk. So the Bible addresses him as the dragon and the serpent. The Bible calls him the deceiver. The Bible calls him the accuser. The Bible calls him the father of lies. God called him star of the morning, son of the dawn. From star of the morning, son of the dawn, he became a thief and a robber and a murderer. How you have fallen, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. God cries over his chosen and anointed son. So yes, you have an anointing. That's very nice to hear. But if you don't deal with your character, you will function in that anointing according to your character. If you are a fearful person, your anointing will always be curtailed by your fears. If you have the fear of man, your anointings and your operation in the offices that God has appointed you to stand in will always be curtailed by your fear of man. Listening? So one of the things that you must understand right off the bat is that ability involves character, ability involves your nature. So to think that you can be a man of God just by being anointed is a totally mistaken idea. To think that simply by being anointed you're going to do the right things before God is a false idea. So Paul says, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Christ is formed in you involves an anointing, but it also involves his nature and his character. So part of your growth, so that you will have the ability to stand where God wants you to stand, involves the nature and character of Jesus Christ being revealed and being perfected and completed inside of you. So when God expounds his word inside of you, he will always expound his word in a new covenant context through the character and nature of Jesus. Now this can only happen as you pray in tongues, because it's a supernatural communication. Intellectually, you cannot understand how character can be communicated through the word of God. But the Rhema word, John 6:63, Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and are life. So when you function in tongues, you function in a Rhema reality. And that Rhema reality, if you focus it on the word of God, will bring that word out of the spirit and life of Jesus. It will express that word in the character and nature of Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the word of God. He is the word made flesh. And the word made flesh is to manifest in your insides. Praise the Lord. Your ability also involves your testimony. So if you'll find that as a minister of the Lord, your testimony is crucial to your ministry. Always remember that as you move into ministry, you're not just simply doing signs and wonders and dealing with problems. You're also building a witness before God. You're building a testimony before God. God takes you from small beginnings, step by step by step by step, into high position. There is no instant promotion in the kingdom of God. There is absolutely no instant promotion in the kingdom of God. You have to go step by step by step by step. God may quicken the process by giving you the right mentor, but you have to go through that step by step process. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. So in building you for the ministry and giving you an ability to function in that ministry, a key ingredient of that ability is your testimony before God. So how you deal with people, how you deal with situations and circumstances are part and parcel of the building of your ability. So you will find that as you function in God, God perfects you in the things that you do. So if you have a pastor's ministry, your pastoral calling is a perfected calling. So you start somewhere and God keeps on building you step by step by step by step as he raises you into the mount of the Lord. So if you have a gifting of healing, or the gifts of healing operating inside of you, those gifts of healing are also tied to your character and your nature. They are tied to your testimony. How you use those gifts of healing. For what purposes do you use those gifts of healing? For whose glory do you use those gifts of healing? It is not merely operating something by the anointing and by the gifting. The other facet of your ability involves the gifting that comes with you. So for instance, if you're called a pastor is a gift from God. A prophet is a gift. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts. The other kinds of gifts that God has. So through the gift God gives you a scope of function. The anointing enables that scope of function. Your character and your nature raises the level of that scope and function. Your testimony in using your giftings and your anointings builds you. So your ability is a very complex reality when you read Scripture. So it's very important to understand it is not how you begin in ministry that counts, it is how you end. So your ability. Now your ability is stored in your heart, guys. Your ability is stored in your heart. Out of your heart will flow your abilities into your soul, into your other areas, okay? Into your mind. But your ability is stored in your heart. So watch over your heart. It is so crucial for you to understand that. So what have we learned today? What we have learned today is that the Lord is telling us that you have the capacity to speak, and you have the ability that will bring forth those words. Now those words communicate the spiritual ability that you have. So for instance, you can lay hands on a person and impart healing through your words into that person. Your words communicate something. The fact of your hands being laid on something, on a person, can also communicate the anointing. So you are a vessel of the Lord. All of us are built for this. All of us are built for this. So we must understand and know what we are built to do. All right? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, that you have built us so that we will be ministers, servants of the living God, servants of a new covenant, ministers of a new covenant. That as we pray in tongues and apply those tongues to your word, you mean to build inside of us an awesome reality of your workmanship within us, Lord. Our character and our nature too, O God. Our issues, O God, that deal with how we minister, Lord. So we thank you that you have planned things, O God, very precisely over our lives. And it's so important for us to understand the full counsel of your words. Because the full counsel of your words enable us to be developed wholesomely, Father. And it's so important that we become wholesome vessels, O God, and not vessels skewed on some prejudiced idea, Lord. So, Father God, we pray that you will open the full counsels of your word into our hearts so that we will become your chosen vessels, so that we will become your anointed vessels, so that we will do the things that you want us to do, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, we pray this, Father. Amen.